Hello, this is my Holy Week Diary for March the 28th, 2024. Today is Maundy Thursday. This is a reading from Mark chapter 14, verses 66 through 72. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what you are talking about." And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed. And the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know this man you are talking about." At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. Here ends the reading. Earlier in Mark, in response to Jesus' question, "Who do people say I am?" Peter confesses out loud what others may have thought, but no one had the audacity to say, "You are the Messiah of God." A few verses after that confession, when Jesus predicts his death in Jerusalem, Peter rebukes him. The thought that the Messiah would suffer such a fate was beyond his comprehension. That turn of events did not comport with Peter's understanding or worldview. The Messiah was supposed to triumph, not fail, in his mission. By the time the disciples gather for what would be their last meal with Jesus, everyone knows that things are coming unraveled. Only Judas knows that he is the one who will ultimately pull the thread that sets everything in motion. But somehow Jesus knows that there is a betrayer at the table. And this awareness leads to all sorts of questions and promises from the other 11. Peter is the most vociferous in his full-throated loyalty. When Jesus foretells how Peter will succumb to fear and deny any affiliation with him, Peter doubles down on his rhetoric. "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you," he promises. I believe Peter meant every word he said at the time. I believe he wasn't grandstanding for brownie points. I believe Peter, like so many of us can tend to do, overestimated how he would respond in a moment fraught with fear and anxiety when perhaps his life would be on the line. Between Peter's pledge of unswerving faithfulness and his swear word-laced denials we read in today's gospel, the turn of events must have been unthinkable. Everything had happened so fast. The prayer vigil in the garden, the armed guard led by one of his fellow disciples arresting Jesus there in the middle of the night, everyone else fleeing for safety. Somehow, in spite of the confusion, Peter had managed to get to the general vicinity of the midnight mock trial. Even though he must have tried to hide his identity, his manner of speech and his dress hinted that he wasn't from Jerusalem. Finally, a servant girl recognizes him. "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." Peter's first denial comes quickly, reflexively. It's a denial for his own self-preservation. And after the first, the second and third denials come even easier. and then the rooster crows. In the moment of realization of what he has done, in spite of his earlier pledge, in spite of his pledge, even if I must die, I will not forsake you, I will not deny you. In that moment that he realizes that he's done the very thing he said he wouldn't, Peter breaks down in tears. None of us really know how we would have responded in such a moment. In that moment, Peter is all of us at some point in our own walk of faith. We may not verbally deny that we know Jesus, because at least right now in this country, acknowledging our connection to Jesus isn't likely to get us killed. And still, if we think about it honestly, our own ways of denying Jesus are much more subtle. We are better equipped than Peter to be able to blend into the culture around us. Maybe we don't deny Jesus out loud, but we simply keep quiet about our faith altogether. Of course, we have lots of really good reasons for keeping quiet. Separation of church and state, we say. No religion in the workplace, we say. I don't want to offend anyone, we say. Those mean Christians make us look bad, so I just want to keep quiet about it, we say. I don't know enough about the Bible, we say. All of these reasons may have their time and place, but I wonder how much of the ease with which we remain silent about our faith boils down to the fact that we're just afraid. Not afraid of losing our lives, but afraid of losing our friends, or losing our status, or losing respect. Before we all jump on the "Ain't Peter a Coward" bandwagon, perhaps we need to think a bit about the ways we simply sidestep our own relationship with Jesus. If we pause and think about that, we may just hear the faint sound of a crowing rooster. God help us all. Let us pray. Almighty Father, whose dear Son on the night before he suffered instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, mercifully grant that we may receive it thankfully in remembrance of Jesus Christ our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gives us a pledge of eternal life, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.